All right, let's go. Okay, so I want to. I think we discussed this topic a few years ago, but current events in Israel has focused me in a way that I wasn't before on seeing something new that I don't think I saw before. Kanaim pogimbo. So first of all, I'm sorry, Josh. I tried, but this is my parsha, not yours. Although we're catching up really, really soon. Matos Mase will be caught up. This is the end of Balak, is the story of Pinchas.
Ellie, I got to wait. I'm sorry. Ellie, I got to tell you one story. This past Shabbos, I was in Trieste, Italy, and the Israeli ambassador.
Good story.
I'm happy.
During
Josh,
the rabbi's speech. To Lane. So I just want to tell you, then I had to give him your share from last week. Goodbye.
All right. Anyway, let's go. So the story of Pinchas actually killing Zimri is in Balak, right? The Parshas Pinchas, it's a whole thing we could discuss at some later date, why the story's broken up. So it's a thing called Parshas Pinchas, which is kind of the epilogue to what happens in this week's Parsha of mine in Balak. But the issue of Kanaot, I think, it is one that's worth discussing. I'll just mention where I got to this idea from. Many people may have followed last week. I think it's been all over the news. Some conservative bar mitzvah at the Kotel, not really at the Kotel, at what's called the Ezrat Yisrael, the separate area that's been designated for, let's call it, non-Orthodox worship. You know, this bar mitzvah was attacked by a bunch of Haredi kids. Yeah, just really horrible stuff. I assume they see themselves as Kanaim, and my guess is most people on this call think there must be better ways to express your Avas Hashem. On the other hand, recently in Efrat, somebody posted to the Efrat chat, Efrat has a chat, just like Tina. We have internet here. And somebody posted saying, should we revisit, you know, allowing people to drive in Efrat on Shabbos? And this person was crushed. You know, what are you, narrow-minded? We established Efrat to be open-minded, and the whole point is people are allowed to drive if they want to. There seemed to be very little support for a position that I think at least makes some sense, which is, wouldn't we rather have a community in which people don't drive on Shabbos? So those two issues sort of got me thinking about the role of Kanaot. I think for the most part, Jews like us think that zealotry and jealousness on behalf of God is dangerous. And that's what we want to discuss today. Okay. The psukim, I guess I should pull up a sheet.
Put it in perspective, though, very few people drive in Efrat on Shabbos.
Okay, good. So which way does that push us?
Each his own.
Okay, that's where it pushes you. The other position is, you're not changing anybody's lives. Very few people drive. Wouldn't it be better if we made a statement as a town saying we're in favor of Shmiras Shabbos? Okay, but I don't want to debate that with you. Let's read. The Torah says as follows: V'hine ish mi bnei Yisrael ba vayakrev el achavat hamidyanit leinei Moshe leinei kol adat bnei Yisrael. So they're having relations literally in public in front of Moshe and bnei Yisrael. V'hema bochim petach ol moed. And Moshe and the rest of the people are crying. They don't know what to do. They're standing in front of Ohel Moed. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen vayakam mitoch haido vayikach romach biyado. Pinchas gets up from among the assembled with a spear in his hands. Vayavo achar ish Yisrael al akuba, and he enters the tent. Vayidkor et shnehem, and he stabs them both, or he spears them both. Et ish Yisrael v'et ha'ishal kavata v'teyatzar ha'magefo me'al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas kills both of the people. Interestingly, one of whom is a Jew, the other of whom is not, and it's therefore definitely not Chayv Misa, even if the Jew is, and as we'll see, the Jew is not. He does it. Now, is this a good thing or not? Well, the Torah says, Vateyatzara magefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. It certainly sounds like God approves of the action of Pinchas. Then the next week's parasha, Vayda Hashem Moshe Limor, now we know for sure, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, Hey Shivet Chamati Me'al B'nei Yisrael. Pinchas has reduced my anger against B'nei Yisrael. What did he do? Bikano et kin ati bitocham. Pinchas was jealous for me, says God. V'lo chiliti et b'nei Yisrael b'kinati. Therefore, because of Pinchas' jealousy on my behalf, says God, I am not destroying the Jewish people, a strong endorsement of Pinchas' action. L'chein emor hinini notein lo et briti shalom. Not only that, God gives him briti shalom, a covenant of peace. V'hayitolo ulezara achara brit kunat olam, and it should be for him and his generations a covenant of kahuna tachat asher kinei lelokav v'yechaper al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas becomes a Kohen as payment for the fact that he was zealous, that he was jealous for God, that he was a Kana'i. Wait, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, wasn't Pinchas a Kohen from the start? He's the grandson of Aaron. He's the son of Elazar. The answer is no. When God made Aaron and his sons Kohanim, Pinchas was already born. So the way it worked was only those who were born after they were Kohanim became Kohanim. God now makes an exception and makes Pinchas a Kohen as well, because he was jealous for God, because he was a Kana'i. Okay, model for us or not. So let's start with a fascinating halacha. Source number two, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Aleph Amud Bet, says, Haboel Aramit Kana'im Pogimbo. There is a special halacha that a person who has relations with an Aramit, which in this case almost certainly means with any Gentile woman, and we'll see later it means in public, Kana'im Pogimbo. Strangely, as we'll see, well, you know what, let's read Rashi. What does it mean, Kana'im Pogimbo? Who's a Kana'i? So Rashi says, B'nei Adam Kisherim, you know, good people, honest people, religious people, Hamit Kana'im Kin Ato Shel Makom, who are jealous for God, not for themselves, but they're jealous for God. Pogimbo bisha'a sheroin et ha-ma'aseh. If a Kana'i comes across two people, a Jew and a Gentile, having relations in the moment, and he sees them and he's jealous for God and he's properly motivated, he may kill them. Aval la'achar mikein, but after the fact, Ein mitato misura lebeitin. But Rashi says amazingly, but you should know, if you bring witnesses to Beis Din and the witnesses testify that this guy just had relations with this Gentile woman, they don't kill him. So now you have not just the fact that this sort of, you know, citizen's arrest or self-executing judgment, I pass by these people, I'm jealous for God, I'm allowed to kill them, but the fact is, that's not even the halacha. They're not chayav misa. So where does this idea come from? Rashi says, and everybody agrees with Rashi, v'halacha l'moshe misinayhu. It happens to be this idea of kana'im pogimbo, this halacha of kana'im pogimbo, is a halacha l'moshe misinayhu. So let's just understand what the halacha is. The halacha, again, is if you come across a Jew and a Gentile woman having relations, let's say in public, and it's so offensive to you, you're so angry, not because you're angry, but because it's offensive to God, it hurts God, and you feel God's pain, so to speak, you're allowed to kill them. Even though the halacha is that they're not chay of misa. Okay, and how do we know this? It's a halacha l'moshe misinayhu. How does Rashi know that it's halacha l'moshe misinayhu?
So it's in the heat of the moment and no personal agenda.
Well said.
Like France has its rules, it's a crime of passion. A man comes upon his wife with some other man, you can kill the guy and you'll get off in court because it's a crime of passion. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that, because you don't get off in court. It's a mitzvah. It's a din. It's a halacha l'moshe misinayhu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's see. Let's look at the background, which I think we all know, but it's good to read the Gemara. Source number three, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Chisda. Habalim loch. If a person comes to Beis Din, now it's going to get even more complicated. A person comes to Beis Din and he says, there are these two people having relations outside. Can I kill them? The Gemara says, Ein morin ke lo. The Beis Din does not tell him the truth. Beis Din doesn't say, yes, you're allowed to kill him. Beis Din does not paskin, or they paskin, no. It's what we call the halacha ve'ein morin came. The din is kana'im pogimbo. That's the din. And yet we don't paskin that way if you ask the question. We'll come back to that in a few minutes because it's fascinating. V'lo od, now the Gemara makes it even more dangerous. V'lo, not only that, we don't paskin that way. Ella, she'im pireish zimri v'harago Pinchas. If Zimri finished his act and then Pinchas kills him, neheragalav, Pinchas is chayv misa, because the din is limited to in the act. In addition, says the Gemara, nehapach Zimri v'aragola Pinchas, if Zimri turns around and pulls out a gun and kills Pinchas, ein neheragalav, Zimri is innocent. Why? Shehare rodefu. Pinchas has the din of a rodef. Fascinating. So let's review. There's a din of kana'im pogimbo. If you're motivated properly and it's in the act, you're allowed to kill. You're allowed to kill the perpetrator. But if it's not in the act, if they finish the act and you're 30 seconds late, you're a murderer. If Zimri, the person who's violating halacha, turns around and kills Pinchas, he's innocent. Because for him, Pinchas has a din of a rodef. Okay, how do we know this? So the Gemara gets the story that Zimri, you know, approached Moshe and challenged his leadership. The Gemara says, Tafsabi blu rosea. Zimri grabs Kuzbi bas tzur by her hair. Vehivia eitzel Moshe. And he brings her to Moshe. Amarlo, Ben Amram. Whatever they call you, Ben Amram, it's like, it's an insult, right? Zo asura umuteret. Can I marry her? Can I have relations with her? And without waiting for an answer, he says, "Ve'im tomar asura." And if you say I'm not allowed to, "Bat Yitro Zipora, your wife, mihi tira lecha." She's also a Midianis. Okay, so we answer separately that Moshe married her before Matan Torah, but that's not the point. What does Moshe respond? The Gemara says, "Nit alma mimenu halacha." Moshe didn't know what to do. He forgot the halacha. This happens a few times in Chumash. Ga'u kulam bivchia. So now they're all standing, like the pasuk says. There's this bizarre scene where Zimri is challenging Moshe and having relations with this woman, and nobody knows what to do. Uksiv vayar Pinchas ben Elazar mara'a. What did Pinchas see? So pashut pshat is Pinchas saw the act. Amar Avno ra'a ma'asev nizkar halacha. He saw the act. And he remembered the halacha. Amarlo, achi avi abba. The father of my grandfather. Again, his grandfather's Aaron HaKohen. So he says to Moshe, lo kach li maditani beridicha mehar Sinai. Didn't you teach us a halacha when you came down from Har Sinai? What was the halacha? Habo eles hanachris kana im pogimbo. You told us this halacha. Which, by the way, literally makes it a halacha la Moshe mi Sinai. Amarlo, Moshe says to him, Kraina de Igrisa, he who read the letter, Ihu lahave parvanka, he should carry out the act. So interesting, this might be Kanaim Pogan Halacha ve'ein morim kein. Moshe doesn't say, you know, a lot of people ask, if that's the halacha, why didn't Moshe do it? So it's the halacha, but Moshe is like careful how he tells Pinchas. He says, okay, if that's the halacha, then perhaps you should act on it. So this is the source. The source is Pinchas says to Moshe, isn't this halacha Moshe Misina? Didn't you teach us this? And Moshe says, if so, you do it. So that's how we know that it's halacha Moshe Misina. But even though that's the famous part, the Gemara has two alternatives. Ushmuel Amar, Ra'a She'ein Chachma Ve'ein Tevuna Ve'ein Eitzel V'neged Hashem. What Pinchas saw is that, I don't know what the halacha is, but this can't go on. Right, this is offensive to God. If there's a chilul Hashem, I need to act. And if Moshe's not acting, even though it looks like I'm passing halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not acting. It's a makom chilul Hashem. I'm going to act. And Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Lazar Ra'ash Shabam Malach V'Ishkid Pa'am. Pinchas sees there's a plague going on. The Malach HaMavs is killing people. he says, I don't know what the halacha is, but I have to act. Okay, but the main part of the Gemara is that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai called kana'im pogim bo, which we learn out from the story of Pinchas, although Pinchas knew it first. And bizarrely, while it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, it's a halacha ve'ein morim kein. It is true, it's the halacha, but if you ask for advice, no responsible bezdin, no responsible posek tells you you should do it. So what does that mean? What does it mean that there's a halacha that we paskin like, but that we don't paskin like? I don't know a better way of saying it. It's bizarre. And by the way, isn't this kana'ut thing really, really dangerous? Doesn't it lead to all kinds of hot-headed behavior? You know, the second you think that something is wrong, you say to yourself, I have to act. It's not the halacha. Okay, but I think we're correct to be worried about it. So are we supposed to do this or not? Right? What's the message from the story? What's the message from the Gemara? Is kana'ut good or bad? Or said another way, was Pinchas bidieved? Okay, he did it and we can't punish him because there's such a halacha, but we would have rathered if he didn't do it. So in the psukim, it's hard to say that because God's support for Pinchas seems full-throated, right? Pinchas b'nazar, hishivet chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas is the hero of the story. So how do we understand this? So there's one more. There's a Yerushalmi that's famous. That's how I know it. And it presents a kind of a different picture here. Look at source number 4, the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. It says, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Mara'a, right? Exactly the same lead-in as the Bavli that we saw in Sanhedrin. Ra'ayata ma'aseh, he saw what was going on. V'nizkar la'halacha. What halacha did he remember? Habo'el Aramis, hakana'im pogim bahen. Our exact halacha. And now amazingly, the Yerushalmi says, Tani shelo biratzon chachamim. We have this idea that the halacha of Habo'el Aramis is shelo biratzon chachamim. Chachamim don't like this idea. Upinchas shelo biratzon chachamim. Pinchas acted in a way that the chachamim did not approve of. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, amazingly, bikshu l'nadota. They wanted to put Pinchas, the hero of our story, in Nidui. Nidui is a type of cherem. Ilulei shekapsa alav ruach hakodesh, were not for the fact that God appeared, literally. It's amazing. What the Yerushalmi says is that Chazal don't like this halacha. And in fact, right at the end, in source number 1, right after Pinchas kills them, Chazal want to punish him. Not punish him in Bezdin, but announce that this is not behavior that we approve of. And God intervenes. God shows up and says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Hashiv Chamati Me'al Bnei Yisrael. And if it wasn't for God, they would have disapproved of Pinchas' act. How could that possibly be? How could it be that Chazal are against the halacha? So it seems obvious to me that, and this gets into the bigger issue that I really want to discuss in the role of halacha. Right? It's almost impossible to understand this. It's almost impossible to understand psukim that are as clear as anything in the Torah that God approves of something. And Chazal show up and say, according to the Yerushalmi, we don't like it. And maybe Chazal kind of changed the halacha, right? The halacha is kana'im pogim bo, but we're going to say halacha ve'ein morim kein. That may be the halacha, but if somebody asks us for permission, we're not going to give him permission. How does such a thing happen?
So it sets a precedent that is very frightening.
Okay, good. I'm with you. By the way, at this point, it's just a rhetorical question. I have what to say.
I'm sure you do.
No. Okay, so first, let's look at the Torah Tamima. It's an amazing Torah Tamima here, who basically sees the issue the way we do. The Torah Tamima says, "Kama source number 5, kama amluha mefarshim lefaresh drasha zo bichlal." On this Yerushalmi, he says, you know, mefarshim have tried so hard to try to explain why it is that Chazal seem to be opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this din. Abal ha'emet yesh tefarish b'derech pashut. Says the Torah to me, the simple reading is the correct one. Da'amar bazeh, tani shelo b'ratzon chachamim. Kilomar, ha'dikana'im pogim b'boel aramit, ein ruach chachamim no chamizeh. Unbelievable. Chazal don't like this halacha. Yes, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Chazal don't like it. Why not? Obvious. And if I would have let Debbie talk, she would have said it. V'hasfara b'zeh yesh lomar. Why don't they like it? D'kevon d'tzarich la'asot zeh b'rach kina amitit l'chvod Hashem. The only person who's allowed to carry out this halacha is a pure kana'i in the best sense of the word, meaning he has no personal involvement in this at all. He is all l'shem shamayim. He is the most religious person in the world. He simply cannot abide watching God be humiliated. Okay? But what's the problem with that? Im kein, e efshar latet reshut l'chal adam sheyeh rasha'i lifgo b'ish kazeh. How could Chazal implement this halacha? They can't look into a person's heart. Ki mi yodea, ulai hu oseh zeh be'eze pniyat stadit? Who knows? Maybe the truth is in fifth grade, this guy insulted the Kana'i. He doesn't tell anybody that. He's been waiting since fifth grade to take his revenge, and now he's going to do it. Va'omer ki oseh b'ruach kinat Hashem. But of course he says, I'm doing this out of pure motivation. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's being humiliated. There's a chil Hashem going on, so I'm acting. And it's not just that he acts as a kana'i, he kills a person whose punishment was not supposed to be misa. Say Chazal, I'll say it in my words, it's not a halacha that we can implement. God, you are bochein klayot valeh. You can look into a person's heart, you know his motivation, and for you, the halacha makes sense. For us on earth, the halacha does not make sense. Because for us on earth, we cannot be in a position where we have to make a determination that this person is a kana'i. We're human beings. D'shema eino oseh l'shem mitzvah. Now here's another example. I'll say it outside because it'll be good. And it's a fascinating example. Torah Tumim says, I have a precedent for this view of Chazal. The precedent is the din of Yibum versus the din of Chalitza. Why is this a precedent? When you read the Psukim in the Torah, there's no one who reads them and doesn't see the following. When the brother dies childless, the Torah wants his surviving brother to marry his wife and to bear children in his name. If it turns out that the brother doesn't want to do it, then he takes a shoe and they spit on him and he's called Beit Chalut Hanal and there's a mitzvah of Chalitza. The Gemara asks, what's better, Yibum or Chalitza? Now to me, what kind of question is that? You look in the Pesukim, it's obvious to all of us. Yibum is what the Torah wants. If the brother refuses to carry out his obligations, he can do Chalitza. But that's not what the Torah wants. Nevertheless, Chazal say, Chalitza kodemes liyibum. We would rather people do Chalitza than Yibum. Now, the simple pshat in that is that, we pask now, because of the Takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, that you're not supposed to have two wives. Okay, so we live in a world you're not supposed to have two wives. It was a huge fight when the state of Israel was founded. Ashkenazim paskin chalitza kodemus liyibum, Sfaradim paskin yibum kodemus lachalitza. So when they came to Israel, some of them came with more than one wife, and Rav Ovadia supported the idea of Sfaradim being able to have multiple wives through the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, that's usually the explanation. But the Torah Tumimah suggests a different explanation. He says, why could it be that Chazal want you to do chalitza, not yibum? He says, ki mi yodea. Well, this is our case, right? Maybe the guy, the kana'i, has his own motivation. The same thing, he says, applies to yibum. Deshema eino osel l'shem mitzvat yibum, el l'shem pniyat tzadik, v'nimtza nichshal be'iser eishes ach. He says, yibum is a problematic halacha, because it goes against the Torah prohibition on marrying your brother's wife. So he says, it's true, there's a mitzvah of yibum, but it's only for tzaddikim. It has to be that you're marrying your brother's wife because it's a mitzvah satorah, not because you are otherwise attracted to her or for any other reason. Because if you're marrying her for any other reason, you're in violation of Eishes Ach. So the Torah Tmima says there are other examples in the Torah where Chazal say, we don't want to take responsibility for the Din HaTorah. It's true. The Torah says, marry your sister-in-law. But Chazal say, listen, not everybody is so pure of heart. Some people might marry their sister-in-law because they're attracted to their sister-in-law. And that's not the mitzvah of Yibum. That's an Isur D'oraisa of Eishes Ach. So the way the Torah Tmima presents it, it's like, yes, there is a din of kana'im pogimbo, and God knows how to implement that halacha, but Chazal say, we don't know how to implement that halacha, and so we're going to say halacha ve'ein morim kein. That essentially, we're not going to let people do it, even though it's a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. That's another example. Another example is capital punishment, I believe. In the Torah, when you read Psukim, the way it sounds like every Monday and Thursday after laning, they went outside and killed people, right? But we know that no one was ever put to death. Why was no one ever put to death? Because the standards established by Chazal didn't allow for it. Think about it. You need two witnesses who are looking together. The two witnesses need to say to the murderer, you know, if you carry this out, you're going to get skila. The murderer needs to turn around and say to them, Afal pi kein. Yes, I acknowledge it. I'm signing a document now saying, after I commit this crime, which you're observing, I'm going to be put to death. And according to some shitos, that has to be done toch kidei dibur. He then turns around a second later and shoots the other person. That never happens. Why did Chazal establish those standards? So I'll tell you what I think. Because Chazal don't know what maze it is. Maybe the guy's crazy. Maybe, you know, as Lenny said before, it's a crime of passion. Who knows? So Chazal established standards by which the only way we can put you to death is if we know that you really meant it. And the only way we know that you really meant it, if ki'ilu, you actually sign a document, you know, confirming that you're of sound mind and sound body and that you really mean to kill this person and you understand the punishment. Okay, that's a pretty unbelievable thing. But it turns out now, according to the Torah Tmima and what I'm saying, that halacha and the halachic system may be slightly more complicated than we think. There may be things that God knows. Let's say it's halacha b'shamayim. God knows these things, and therefore God would punish you based on them. But we human beings can't. Because we human beings don't look into people's minds and hearts. And therefore, there are halachas that Chazal find difficult or even impossible to implement. They're like, real halachos.
Like Ben Sorer.
Chazal are nervous about it. Excuse me, sorry?
Like Ben Sorer Amore.
Like Ben Sorer Amore. I have another one in mind. An example, it's different than what we're discussing, but it's kind of a mitzvah satorah, and you ask yourself, well, does the Torah really want it? There's a whole category of mitzvahs that we refer to from time to time, meaning I don't think the Torah wants me on my own to be mekayim the mitzvah of gerushin, right? I think the Torah is happy for me to remain married. It's true. If, God forbid, I wanted to divorce my wife, the Torah says there's a mitzvah to do it via a get. That's a whole category of mitzvahs. But then there's something else, another category that I want to raise with you. Look at source number 6. This is the case of an accidental murderer. So the Torah says, Goel hadam hu yamit et harotzeach b'figo bo hu yimitenu. The accidental murderer can be or should be killed by the next of kin of the victim. So we ask ourselves, does the Torah really want the Goel Hadam to kill the accidental murderer? Or is it just the sort of the implementation method that gets him to stay in an Ir Miklat? So Chafei, so the Torah says, what should we do? V'hitzilu ho'ayda tarotzeach miyad Goel Hadam. We should try to save the life of the accidental murderer. Ve'yishivu oto ha'ida al Ir Miklato asher nas shama. We should take him to an Ir Miklat. And he has to live there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Okay, strange halacha, not for us now. Chavav, the Torah says, second line from the end of six. What happens if the Goel Hadam escapes? He decides to leave the Ir Miklat. He wants to go back home. If the Goel Adam finds him outside of the Ir Miklat, the Goel Adam is allowed to kill the accidental murderer, ain lo dam, and the Goel Adam cannot be punished for it. So we ask ourselves, what does the Torah really want? Does the Torah really want the Goel Hadam to kill the accidental murderer? Again, it was accidental. He's not really a murderer. We don't have another word for it, so we call him an accidental killer or an accidental murderer. But, you know, he ran over the kid. God forbid, he didn't see him. He wasn't really negligent. He could have been more careful. It was an accident. So part of, by the way, you should know this, part of the greatness of the Torah law of Ir Miklat, you should know, is that it's very hard. I'll tell you a story. I think I've told this before. It's one of John Gotti's sons was run over by accident by a neighbor and killed. Okay? Incredibly enough, the guy committed suicide shortly thereafter by tying his hands and feet behind his back, locking himself in the trunk of a car and shooting himself. And the murderers were never found. Okay, the assumption is that he was killed by the Gotti family. Okay, we're not in favor of any of that. But you know what Ir Miklat does? It allows you, who God forbid as a child who was killed, to not have to see the murderer every day. He's your neighbor. It's true it was an accident. But every time you see your neighbor, you're reminded of the fact that he ran over your son. It's a terrible thing. So the question is, is the ability of the Goel Adam to kill the Rotzeach Bishgaga, is that just the enforcement method? How do we get him to stay in Ir Miklat? Well, if you leave, the Goel Adam has permission to kill you. That's what I think. Or does the Torah really want the Goel Adam to kill you? So there's a mitzvah in the Torah for the Goel Adam to kill. But my sense is it's not what the Torah wants. So there is precedent, not just in Chazal. There is precedent in the Torah for something to look like a mitzvah, but for the Torah not wanting, you know, to not really want it to happen. So Debbie mentioned Betzorah U'Moer, which is clearly something that Chazal basically legislated out of existence. Ir Hanidachas is something like that. Maybe Amalek is something we want to avoid. Certainly Eved Kenani is something we want. There's a group of halachas like this.
Eishet Yifatuar.
Okay, Eishet Yifatuar is a great example, right? This is the din. It's one of Taryag Mitzvos. Nobody thinks that the Torah wants you to go to war and find a woman and sleep with her. Nobody thinks that. But we need these halachos on the books in case. Now, let's try to make a bigger point about halacha, because this is the point that I think is the bigger point and really, really matters. Okay, look at source number 7. This is just a famous medrash about God creating the world. Says the Medrash, Lefikach, Haya mevakesh livrot et ha'olam badin. God originally had the idea of creating the world, b'midas hadin, b'shem Elokim, you know, the attribute of justice. V'lo haya yachol. But God realized immediately he can't do it. Why? B'shvil ma'aseh tzadikim. Because there are good people. And as we all know, good people sin from time to time. And if it's a din, if the world is created by Midas HaDin, then every time somebody sins, they have to be punished. That's bad for the world. So God decided otherwise. Therefore, umevakesh livroto berachamim. Then God decided, you know what? I'll create the world midas harachim, shem yud kei vav kei. V'lo haya yachol, but God couldn't do that either. Why? Ba'avur ma'aseh harishaim. Because then rishaim would get away with murder. Ma'asa. What did God do? Shitev shnehem. God combined the two. Midat hadin u'midat rachamim uvara et ha'ulam. God combined the two and created the world. Shenema biyom asot Hashem Elokim Eretz Yisrael. Hashem midas harachamim, Elokim midas hadin. Okay, why does this matter? It matters because we have this idea that there's a system of halacha that's perfect. And the answer is, there is no system of halacha that's perfect because we're not perfect. Even the system of halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is set up to work in an imperfect world and is a balance between Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. So for example, the Torah says, if I poke out your eye, you poke out my eye, ayin tachas ayin, but the halacha l'moshe misinai is that doesn't work. In a world of pure justice, ayin tachas ayin would work. But we can't live in a world of pure justice. The sense you get is that God hasn't, kiviyachol, God wanted the din to be ayin tachas ayin, but he realized that it couldn't be. So even halacha l'moshe misinai represents a type of compromise where there's what God would want in a perfect world, and then there's what our world can encompass. It's what we can do as human beings. The world of pure justice can't exist. You need both parts. That's the balance that we want. And so that's why, for example, there's a famous Shita Saran. What's going on under the halachic system? No one ever gets killed. Literally, people are getting away with murder. So the Ran says, that's why we have a melech. The melech will straighten it all out. So you start to get this idea that the halachic system is not pure. The halachic system is a compromise that has to work for this world. So for example, we take our halacha. Kana'im pogim bo, it's a halacha ve'ein morim kein. What does that mean? So I heard Rav Moshe Lichtenstein quote his grandfather, and I remember it because he said, not that grandfather, meaning it wasn't the Rav, it was Rav Aaron's father, who said pshat is as follows. It's a great pshat. If you go to Beis Din to ask for permission to kill Zimri for having relations with Cosby in public, you're not a real Kana'i. It means you have the self-control to ask the question. And if you have the self-control to ask the question, Chazal are going to step in. Chazal's position is clear. We're really nervous about this din of Kana'im Pogimbo because the whole idea of Kana'ut is dangerous. Because it allows people to act on their instinct, or worse, it allows people to act l'shem shamayim in a way that might not really be l'shem shamayim. Okay, they may hate Reform Jews for reasons that are not l'shem shamayim, and if we let kanaim run free, bad things will happen. And so we step in. I'll give you what might be a good example. It might not. The bracha of v'lam al shinim in Shmona Esrei is a pretty hateful bracha. It's a Kana'i type of bracha. The Gemara says that the bracha was written by Shmuel HaKatan. They had to find a person to write this bracha. Who is Shmuel HaKatan? Shmuel HaKatan is the person who was famous for saying, it's a Mishnah in Avos, Bin fol oivecha al tismach. Don't celebrate when your enemies fall. Meaning, Shmuel HaKatan was the farthest thing from a Kana'i. Shmuel HaKatan was a warm, loving person without any self-interest. Chazal said only such a person can write the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. Okay? The same idea exists. The Netziv says this. I would note, it's quoted by Nechama Leibowitz, that why did God give Pinchas Briti Shalom? The answer is because once you act as a kanai, you may start seeing yourself as a kanai, and other people may start seeing you as a kanai. So God says to Pinchas, Hineni noten lecha briti shalom, you're not going to be a zealot. Your nature should return to you. Your nature is one of warmth and accommodation and support of other people. Normally, the kind of act you did, you know, pegs you as a kanai forever. But in this case, even though you killed Zimri, you're not going to feel yourself a kanai. People won't see you that way. There are roles in the world. David HaMelech had one dream in life, to build the Beit HaMikdash. Right? God says, Dam larov shafachta atolo tivnet beiti. You had a role to play, and you won't be able to be the person who builds the Beit HaMikdash because you killed people. There was nothing wrong with killing people. That was the din. But it made you into a certain type of person, which disqualifies you to build the Beit HaMikdash. God blesses Pinchas to not be that person. What does this get us to? What it gets us to is realizing that our position can't be all or nothing. We can't be in favor of Kanaot in all cases because it's exceptionally dangerous. But to never be Kanaim, I think, is dangerous for us as well. And I thought this in the Ephrat case. I'll say this and it will offend a bunch of people, but so what? The fact that there are Charedim in Israel who are offended by Chilul Shabbos, let's assume that most of them are just playing along, but some of them are really offended by Chilul Shabbos. When a Jew drives by in a car, they're genuinely sad. They're genuinely angry. They're offended for God, for God's honor. I think that's a good thing. I think the result by throwing rocks at a car is not a good thing. But if I could say this, I think we're missing that. Why can't we also be offended? Again, I'm not saying we should kill anybody. I'm not saying we should throw rocks. And I think what happened at the Kotel is despicable. But why can't we at least understand people who feel deeply for God's honor? I think it's worth thinking about. Let's finish with the Rambam just to see that this thing is quoted lahalacha, but look how the Rambam quotes it. It's really amazing. Source number 8. Here's the Rambam Ilchas Yisurei Bia Perak Yud Bet Halacha Dalet. Says the Rambam, Kol haboel kutit bein derech chasnus bein derech znus. If you have relations with a Gentile woman, either with the intention to marry her or just to have a one-time thing, im ba'ala befarhesya, if you do it in public, what's the definition? V'hu sheyivo le'inei asara mi'Yisrael o yeter, 10 or more Jews see it, im paga'o bo kana'im v'harguhu, If Pinchas shows up and kills them, Hare Elu Mishubachim Uzrizim. What a strange phrase. The Rambam doesn't say it's mutter, he doesn't say it's usur, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah. He says, if you do it, you know, you get honored at the shul dinner, right? They make a men's club kiddush for you. Hare Elu Mishubachim Uzrizim. It's like the Rambam couldn't find a way to say it, because he doesn't want to paskin this way, but he wants to say that in theory, that's the halacha. How does he know it? He says, V'davar ze halacha l'moshe m'sinai hu, ra'aya l'davar ze ma'aseh Pinchas b'zimri. Okay, the Rambam says, hi, how do I know that? It's the story of Pinchas. Is it a halacha? Hard to say. But if you do it, hare elu mishubachim uzrizim. I didn't look it up, but I can't imagine there's any other language like this in the Rambam, where he doesn't say, you know, you were mekayim a mitzvah, but he says it's a good thing. The Ravid disagrees on one point. The Ravid thinks there needs to be hasra. Before you kill the two, it has to be the case that people said to them, you know, if you do this, you're subject to misa, which is strange, okay? But he says if there was no hasra, lo amrinan hare elu mishubachin. Now, what the Ravid should have said, without hasra, it's usur to do. But the Ravid adopts the strange language of the Rambam by saying, without Hasra, he doesn't get honored at the shul dinner. You could feel the struggle over how to codify a halacha that's not really part of halacha. Okay, and now just the technical details. Halacha hey. Ve'ein ha-kana'i rashai lifkoa bohem, and Pinchas or us, whatever the Kana, he's not allowed to do anything Ela Bishas Maisa Kizimri. He can only do it during the act as Pinchas did to Zimri. Shenema v'esha yishel kavasa means they're in the middle of the act. Aval in piresh ein hargimoto. But if the guy steps back for a second, you can't kill him. Vim harago neharagalav. And if you do, you're killed. It's like Chazal are making it more and more difficult to do the act, like they did with Ben Sora Umorer. All these halachos that limit your ability to act. In addition, as we've saw already, v'imba kana ili tol reshut mi bezdin lahargo, and if the zealot goes to bezdin and says, "Can I kill him?" Ein morin lo. Va'af al pishu b'shas maisa. It's going on right now. The halacha is he's allowed to do it. Yet bezdin is not allowed to tell him that. V'lo od, ela imba kana ili haroga taboel v'nishma taboel v'haraga kana ili. If the guy turns around and kills Pinchas, the guy's not doing it, l'shem shemayim, he's trying to save his life. Ein haboel neherag alav. Okay? So basically, the Torah or Chazal are trying to convince us not to do this. Now, maybe, I'll suggest this, maybe they're not just trying to convince us not to do it, they're trying to weed out the real Kana'im from the fake Kana'im. What's a real Kana'i? He's the guy who says, I am so offended for God's honor that I'm willing to take the risk. I understand that if I mistime it, I'm chayev misa. I understand that if he turns around and kills me, he's allowed to because I'm a rodef. What am I going to do? It's like Lenny said, it's like a crime of passion, but in the opposite direction. My passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that I'm willing to take the risk. Nobody supports this action, but my passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, my commitment is so pure, that I'm going to take this action. In the end, it really speaks to the balance that I tried to reference before. The balance between the need for Kana'ut, which I would say, having looked at the sources again now and learned with you this sugya, it's like it needs to exist on the books in theory because we're supposed to love God so much that sometimes we act emotionally to defend his honor, but we don't really want that to happen. In practice, Chazal put in a bunch of rules to make it almost impossible to do this. And so the balance that we've spoken about before, we spoke about again today in halacha is what we're looking at. Halacha is not pure. Halacha has to work for us. Example, Chazal are not ein gozrin gzeira elim kein rovat tzibu yicholim la'amod bo. Okay? You're not allowed to make a gzeira unless the tzibu can abide by it. Why not? If it's a correct gzeira, who cares if the tzibu can abide by it? No, halacha has to work. There's no pure system of halacha. It has to work for us. And here I think you find an example of it where I think each of us, not in action, but at least in theory, have to find a balance where sometimes we see things that offend us. We're not so open-minded. We think Jews should keep halacha. We think Chilul Shabbos is bad. Okay, we're not in the business of throwing rocks at people. We're not in the business of offending people and fighting with them. But I do think it's something that we may be missing. It's something that we should probably think about more. Just the idea that we're so happy to see people driving cars on Shabbos, I'm not sure why that's the case. On the other hand, again, current events show the danger of Kana'ut. And it seems to me that Chazal were all over this from the start. Chazal understood that there's a need for purity in Avodas Hashem, but Chazal also understood the danger. And when you see a kid, you know, blowing his nose with a conservative sitter, you know that you've crossed a line. And you know how dangerous this is. But the fact that we never have Kana'ut, you know, maybe that's something to worry about also. Okay, so hopefully I've done an honest job of presenting an issue that I think really goes to the core of halacha. Shabbat shalom to everybody and see you next week.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.